Can I be transparent with you guys today? Can I speak the truth from the heart today? Can I tell you how the Holy Ghost rebuked me? I didn't hear an amen. Amen. Listen, does God speak to you?
Yes.
If you're listening, he's speaking all the time, right?
Yes.
And so I'll share a story when I get to it in a little bit. But first of all, children, are the children going? Or did they already go? They already went. I'm off in the heavenly somewhere. I'm not even paying attention. Bless the children and the nursery ministry. So the title of today's message is Regroup, Refocus. Regroup, refocus. Before I get there, though, I just want to bring something up. I was looking at somebody, a friend of mine, on Facebook, and they had just had the second person this year pass away. And tragic, you know, young people that are passing away. I don't know if they're saved or not. And this person finally had wrote, and they said, "This is the worst year ever." And I'm sensitive and compassionate with that statement, because the statement is how somebody is expressing how they're feeling at that moment. But there are power in our words. Since day one of this year, I've been declaring this year, 2020, the best year ever. And there are people in here and probably watching and that will watch that are going, "You're nuts. This is not the best year ever. Don't you see, Pastor Mike, that there's a pandemic going on? Don't you see that there's death and destruction all around us? Don't you see that there's things out there in the media you don't know what to believe? Don't you know, Pastor Mike, there's confusion everywhere?" And I say, don't you know that there's alternatives? And you can choose to live in despair or you can choose to live in victory. So I say, best year ever. There are people who are like, "Man, I've gone through this and I've gone through this and I've had this happen." And I'm compassionate to that. Believe me, I'm empathetic to the struggle. The struggle's real, right? The struggle's real. But the alternative is to say it's the worst year ever, or it's a bad year, or I'm having the worst day of my life. And that will not feed your spirit. That will not feed you. That will not lift you up. Title of today's message, Regroup, Refocus. Some of you have had some things in your life that have been a major letdown. Some of you have had a major letdown this past week. But I'm here to tell you that when you regroup the way you think and you refocus your focus on what's important in life, there's breakthroughs that will happen in your life. And I want to encourage you today that there's breakthroughs that will happen for you if you regroup and refocus. If you remember, a few months back, I was giving you the definition of the prefix R-E, re. And the definition of that, the prefix R-E, is again, or again and again. So when I say regroup, I'm saying that we need to group together again. When I say refocus, I'm saying that we have to refocus again. When I was in the Army, there was a hand signal like this, and it meant rally. It meant when we were scattered, we needed to regroup. We needed to come back together. Rally point right here. Rally point right here. Shield of faith today. This Sunday, right now, on the 9th. What day is this? The 8th. Yeah, that's the right day. Hey, but we're open tomorrow, so rally point again right here tomorrow. See, I'm going to flip the script, man. See, right now, some of you are thinking that God isn't around and he's not listening to you, and you think that there's other things that are writing the story of your life. I'm here to tell you it's time to take the pen back. Take the pen back, hand it back to God, and say, "God, well, I'm regrouping in you, and I'm refocusing in you, and I want you to write my story. I want to walk in your will. I want to walk in your way." Time to regroup and refocus. When the bombs of hell and chaos come into your life, and you feel like you've been scattered far and abroad, it's time to regroup. I gave a message a while back, long time ago, years ago, about aiming small. Aim small, miss small. And I had took up traditional archery, and I was shooting a bow and arrow with no sights, and it was just instinctive shooting. And the theory behind it is when you aim small, you're going to miss small. But if you aim at the whole big thing, you're going to miss big if you miss, right? And so I'm here to tell you, when you refocus your life, you've got to aim at that small thing that really counts. Jesus is Lord. Amen. I need to say that again. Right now, some of you, your focus may be all over the place. It may be here and there, and your mind is scattered. Your mind is all over. Do I do this? Do I do that? Do I believe this? Do I believe that? Regroup. Regroup. Refocus. What is important? As for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. This is the day the Lord has made, and I will rejoice and be glad in it. And if you don't feel like rejoicing, you need to stir it up, because the Holy Spirit that lives in you did not come with doom and gloom. The Holy Ghost that lives in you is full of joyfulness, is full of hope, is full of gentleness, is full of kindness, is full of love, is full of patience in the midst of the storm. You've got to stir it up. You've got to turn it around. A word for you is uncertainty. Uncertainty. My question is, what level of uncertainty are you on right now? Are you on the Empire State Building level of uncertainty? God bless you. You're awesome. Thank you. Right now, some people are just like, man, I have no idea what's happening. I have no idea where to go with this mess in my life. And I look at my wife and I'm like, man, you're beautiful and healthy. And I look at my kids, man, you're beautiful and healthy. Yeah, you too, brother. You're my kid. Beautiful and healthy. Beautiful and healthy. Best year ever. Amen, best year ever. So I want to take the level of uncertainty down a notch for you today. Hopefully you can regroup and refocus where your mind has been. The battle belongs to the Lord. We will see a victory in this day or another, but we will see a victory. Amen. Uncertainty means doubt, dubiety, skepticism, suspicion, mistrust, lack of sureness about someone or something. Uncertainty may range from a falling short of certainty to an almost complete lack of conviction. Or knowledge. Those are two very important words, conviction and knowledge. Uncertainty. The Bible is full of verses, we heard some this morning, about getting your uncertainty back on the right track. That's good water. Washing of the water of the Word. I'll share some scriptures with you. These aren't on your handouts. By the way, whether you're visiting here or been here, we've been putting scriptures down on the handout. What I don't want to see is you quit bringing your Bibles. Pastor Weldon made this challenge to you a while back. It's good to write in your Bible. It's good to make notes. And if you're relying on the little handout that you probably leave on the chair because I pick them up Monday, or you just throw them away when you get home, write in your Bible, because what I'm giving you right now isn't on your handout. I want to take the level of uncertainty down. Regroup, refocus. Zephaniah 3:17, if you're taking notes, you can write that scripture down. The Lord, your God, everybody say, my God. In your midst, say, my midst. So the Lord, right here, right now, in the midst of what I'm going through, the Mighty One will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you with his love, and he will rejoice over you with his singing. You see, you showed up here today to celebrate corporately, and God is singing over you. God is singing over you. Look at my beautiful creation, and I won't sing anymore. But he is looking over you. He's brought salvation to you, and he loves you. In the midst of what's happening, it's okay. 1 Corinthians 2:9. No eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. You love God? Yes. A couple of you? Do you love God?
Yes.
He's got things prepared for you. He's got gifts prepared for you. He's got rewards prepared for you. He's got things you can't fathom right now prepared for you. We look at Scripture in Romans 8:28 that says, all things work to the good who are called according to his purpose. And sometimes when we're going through issues, we're like, how is it working to good? Because you have no clue what God has prepared for you. You have no idea, no understanding how awesome you are to him. You're not junk, you're awesome. You're made in him. Matthew 6:26. You know, there's a lot of people worried right now. How's it going to be? What's going to happen? What's it look like? Matthew 6:26 takes it, says, look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? See, I think sometimes we need to ask ourselves a personal question. How valuable am I to you, God? How valuable am I? How do you see me, Lord? And God is looking down on you just as it said in Zephaniah, and he says, listen, I am singing over you. I am rejoicing over you. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. You're an awesome creation, and I love you, and you are awesome. Philippians 4, 6, and 7 talks about not being anxious for anything. And in verse 8 tells us what we should think on, the things that are good, the things that are just, the things that are right, the things of anything of a good report. We should think on those things. The Bible is awesome because it lays out a roadmap for us. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him. And he will direct your path. Listen, right now, some of us are in here going, man, I think it's going to be like this, and I think it's going to be like that, and I think this is this, and whatever. Regroup. Refocus. Do not lean on your understanding. Amen. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. Amen? 1 Peter 5, 6 and 7. 1 Peter 5, 6 and 7 says, humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. Listen, if you're on that skyscraper level of uncertainty, I hope we're knocking some floors down. Knock some floors down. Knock some floors down. They got to get knocked down. We got to get back down to ground level. We have to get grounded. Some people have been so anxious right now. You know, I'm going to speak from my nursing point of view. Some people are so anxious and so stirred and so stressed right now in the middle of a pandemic. What do you think lowers your immune system? Rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord. And again, I say rejoice. Amen? Amen. Psalms 56:3. When I am afraid, I put my trust in you. Proverbs 16:3, commit to the Lord whatever you do, and he will establish your plans. Romans 8:28, I had said already. Philippians 1:6, be confident of this. He that who begun good work in you will carry it out to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Amen? Let's take that level of uncertainty down. So I'm going to read a scripture, and from this scripture, I'm going to talk to you about that transparency that I got rebuked in by the Holy Spirit this week. John 13:34-35. On Tuesday, I was seeking the Lord, the day of the election. I was seeking the Lord, and I was trying to figure out where to go with the message for this Sunday. Not having a clue of what results may be transpiring, not understanding any of that, in the natural, but God knows a lot. And so he took me to John. Well, he probably knows all, so let me give him that, right? So he took me to John 13:34-35, and this is what it reads. It says, I am giving you a new commandment. Love each other in the same way that I have loved you. Everyone will know that you are my disciples because of your love for each other. Now, this is what you need to hear and understand. God wasn't talking to the world. Jesus, speaking this, was speaking to his disciples. And he was telling his disciples to love one another. He wasn't telling his disciples to love the world. He was saying, this new commandment I give to you is that you love one another so that when the world is looking on, they're going to know that you're my disciples. That was Tuesday. Wednesday, I had a place I needed to go to. And this place was with other people that don't share the same convictions as I do. Okay? They believe differently than I do. But they're brothers and sisters in the Lord. And so Wednesday morning, I woke up, I'm sitting down, I'm drinking a cup of coffee, and sure as day, I look at my wife and I said, there is no part of me that wants to go to this meeting. And immediately, not a minute later, not a couple seconds later, immediately, I was rebuked in my spirit, and I was brought to the remembrance of John 13, 34, and 35. The world will know that I am his disciple by the love that I have for my other brothers and sisters in the Lord. And so then I started to meditate on it a little bit, and I thought, you know what? My wife and I don't agree on everything, but I would die for her. I love her dearly. She is my best friend. We don't agree on everything. We don't agree on everything. But one thing that we absolutely agree on is that Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior. Jesus Christ is Lord over us. So I'm here to tell you that there are people who are growing up in the Lord, that are in the Lord, that are not going to be in agreement with every single thing that you agree with. Do you hear what I'm saying? But if they declare Jesus is Lord and that you are their brother and they are your brother or sister, then we need to love them. And so it gets even cooler because I go to this meeting. And I started to hear one of these individuals talk about that we do not share the same convictions, okay? They started to talk about how anxious they've been and how stressed they are and how the anxiety can lead to depression in them. And I just said, hold on a minute. I felt a check in my spirit. And I said, I want you to hear something. I love you. I love you. And I shared the story about not wanting to come. The last thing in the world I wanted to do was come and be around a bunch of people who don't share the same conviction. And I said, but I love you. And I meant it from the bottom of my heart. I love you. And it broke. And it was the coolest thing ever. And there was people praying. And there were tears that were flowing. And there was the love of God that was in the room. And there was walls that were being broken down. My convictions haven't changed. But I love them as a brother and sister. And that's my encouragement and challenge to us, is that there's people that aren't in agreement with everything that you have convictions on. So we pray. Because I believe that if I stand on righteousness of God and his word, that that's the right thing. So if they're not in agreement with that, or whether it's topsy-turvy or it's just goofy, whatever the matter may be, love them and pray for them. And then to put icing on the cake, I was called later that afternoon, and a person that was heading this whole thing up said, you know what? I have to be transparent with you. And I said, okay, go ahead. They said, now take this in love. And I said, sure, fire, go ahead. What do you have to say? And they said, I didn't want to come either. I didn't want to come because I didn't want conflict. And I had listened to one of your messages. And when one name came to mind that could be the possible conflict in it, Mike, your name came to me. And he said, but wow, God is cool. So here's the deal. I am passionate in my convictions. On the word, you're not going to change my mind. passionate in those convictions. I am passionate that we have an obligation to protect the innocent lives. I am passionate to live the best holy life that you can live. I am passionate that the family unit is the strength of the church. I'm passionate in that. I'm passionate in the health of strong family units. But I am passionate that my God, Jesus Christ, is bigger than me. And that the Holy Ghost that he placed in me will check me when he needs to. He did not change my passion, but he allowed me to walk through and be the light in the midst of darkness. Conviction is a firmly held belief or opinion. Not everybody has the same beliefs and opinions, but if Jesus Christ is Lord, we can agree on that. You know, in John 17, where Jesus talks about praying to the Father, and he's praying that we come to unity as you and I are in unity. My revelation I got a while ago of that is the church is in unity, guys. The church, Jesus Christ, we are in unity. If Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, we're in unity. When there's differences, we're not in uniformity. I think you need to hear what I'm saying. Uniformity and unity are two different things. Christ is your Lord and Savior, we are in unity. If you have a difference of an opinion on something, we're not in uniformity. And we need to meditate on that and get an understanding. So 2 Peter 3:18 says, and this is where I'm at, and I pray that we can be, but grow in the goodwill and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Glory belongs to him now and for that eternal day. Amen? Amen. And I'm closing in this area. As we pray to regroup and we pray to refocus, I read to you out of Colossians 1, 6 through 12. And it turns into a prayer as Paul writes this out. And this is my prayer for all of us, for all Christians, for all believers across this land, for everyone in the body of Shield of Faith. Paul says, this good news is present with you now. With you now. It is producing results and spreading all over the world as it did among you from the first day you heard it. And that time you came to know what God's kindness truly means. You learned about this good news from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant. He is taking your place here as a trustworthy deacon for Christ and has told us about the love that the Spirit has given you. I have a love in me that is bigger than the hatred. I have a love in me that is bigger than my anger. I have a love in me that is bigger than my disappointment. I have a love in me that is bigger than any depression or anxiety. Verse 9 says, for this reason, we have not stopped praying. For this reason, we have not stopped praying for you since the day we heard about you. We ask God right now, I ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through every kind of spiritual wisdom and insight. And we ask this so that we will live the kind of lives that prove you belong to the Lord. Then you will want to please him in every way as you grow in producing every kind of good work by this knowledge about God. And we ask him to strengthen you by his glorious might with all the power you need to patiently endure everything with joy. I'm going to read that again. Verse 11, my prayer. We ask him, God, to strengthen us by his glorious might with all the power that we need to patiently endure everything with joy. You will also thank the Father who has made you able to share the light, which is what God's people inherit. You have inherited the light of Christ. Let's stand. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for your promise. Thank you for your inheritance. Father God, I pray that there would be peace that would fall on the church, that there would be a joy that is unspeakable, that the church would rise up. God, I am encouraged that in the shaking, the church is not dead. The church has found its voice. The church is not asleep. The church is alive. The church is awake. The church has spoken and will continue to speak. And having done all, Father, I thank you that the church will stand. Father, we are victorious in you, and we will see a victory. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, God bless you and amen.